heart that's here, you know every need that we have. And it's my prayer, if there's one lost, not sure about their salvation, as always, today would be the day. What a great day to be saved, and it's good to be saved today. And we'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, the Bible says there that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Was no open vision. That word precious there means that it was rare. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. At that time there wasn't a Bible. God spoke through the prophets. Usually they would say, thus saith the Lord. There was vision, circumstances, and obviously he communicated with direct communication. It said that he spoke to Samuel, right? And so... It was a time, the reason that there wasn't an open vision, there was a time of spiritual blindness for Israel, and even to the point in the tabernacle that Eli, the high priest in the tabernacle did not hear the voice of God. That's how far backslidden the nation had got when the priest himself couldn't hear the voice of God. Now, we're living in the New Testament. We believe in the doctrine of the priesthood of believers, that we all have direct access to God. And unfortunately, I think that even among God's people today, that there's people that don't really hear or know that they hear the voice of God, how God speaks to us. I know he still speaks through the word. There's the conscience, the Holy Spirit, the conviction, those things. God does speak through circumstances, different things like that. He still does that today. And so, similar days, having trouble hearing the word of God. But an encouraging word there, it said that it went on down to say there in verse 3, it said that before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. You know, there was a flicker of a lamp was still flickering. The lamp was still lit. And I believe that today. I believe, God, there's still a light that God has shining in the world for us today. There's a light out there. There's still the word of God. We've still got the Bible. We're still preaching today. And I believe God's still saving, in the saving business, man. He's still dealing with men's hearts, and there's nothing more important. I told you about the lady I met when I was elk hunting out in the middle of nowhere. And I told her, I said, you know, it's not an accident that we're in a wilderness area running to me twice in the middle of nowhere, and I'm a preacher, right? So I shared with her the word of God, and I said, you know what? God cares for you, man. I mean, there's hope for you. She wasn't sure, so I said, where is your head at? I think I might be an agnostic. That's somebody that don't know if there's a God or not, or atheist, you know, that thinks there's not. But boy, I tell you what, she knew something when she got done. And I think God dealt with her. I mean, God dealt with her heart on that. And then God's still doing that if we would share the gospel with people. But I think it's a bad day when God's people don't hear from God. I mean, that's the amen part right there, right? I mean, it's a bad day when God's own people that are saved and have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, and we've got the Word of God, that we don't hear God talking to us, huh? We don't hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. I mean, how in the world is a lost world going to get saved if God's people don't even hear when God speaks, right? But I know He's still speaking. Now, I understand that the lost world's not always hearing God. But I know that God speaks to the lost world too. I'll show you in just a little bit when we get down there. Huh? I mean, we all got a conscience. The whole world has a conscience, and He speaks. So I understand that the lost world doesn't hear, but He speaks to them. And, you know, I think the problem in the lost world, and this is an uncommon thing, that the lost world is unconscious of the fact that they are lost. They don't know they're lost. And so, you know, that's part of what we do. And the reason they don't know is because they're spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. My little video would have said something, would have lined up with this perfect. We couldn't get it. But anyway, there's an inside lostness. You know, if a man goes out in the woods and he gets lost, he knows he's lost. No? Huh? He knows he's lost, and he's got to kind of do something. I mean, if you're in the mountains, all I can tell you is go downhill. You'll probably come out somewhere where somebody's living, right? Somebody that, you know, my name's Daniel Boone, of course. But Somebody asked Daniel Boone one time if he'd ever been lost. He said, no. He said, but I was a mite bewildered for several days. Never was lost, but I was bewildered for several days running around trying to figure out where he was. But you know what? A man that knows he's lost is going to try to be found, right? I mean, he may not be, but he's going to try to be found. But picture this. Picture a man that's lost in the woods and he's gotten amnesia. He doesn't know who he is. He can't remember who he is. He doesn't remember what he did. He doesn't remember where he lives. He doesn't know anything. And he's lost out in the live. He doesn't know where he belongs. Now, man, this guy is not only externally lost, he's internally lost. I mean, you're pretty lost. And here's the thing, the unregenerated man today, the man in the lost world, he is lost with an internal lostness which makes him insensible to the fact that he is lost. See, the guy that has amnesia wandering around the woods, don't know who he is, where he's from, what his name is, and where he used to live, he don't really know that he's lost. Huh? He just walking around thinking this is how it is. Well, that's half the lost world that's out here today. They're going on about their business day in, day out, just thinking, hey, this is it. Eat, sleep, and be merry. One day we're going to die, right? Everybody gets upset about that. You know, I know one lady right now, she got a relative that's 90 years old. Man, she goes, I'm just worried they're going to die. I said, well, I got news for you. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but they're going to die. You know, eventually, so are you and I, right? I mean, we're going to die. This is waiting, but people live their whole life like they're not going to die. They're living in this life like they're not going to die. And so most of the lost world doesn't know that it's lost, spiritually lost. And this is the reason that we have preaching. And the reason that, and you know what? Preaching without the Holy Spirit of God isn't worth a plug nickel. Amen. It's just not. I mean, I can't do anything. You know what? Have you ever talked to somebody you just blew in the face? And I don't mean the Holy Spirit's not dealing with them. I speak to a bunch of people every week till I'm blue in the face, right? Y'all getting this on the way home, right? but what I'm saying is they, you know, the Holy Spirit has to speak to them internally when you're dealing with somebody. See, even preaching, I can preach and I can have all the illustrations and the joke and everything else to go along with it. But if the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you, it's nothing to accomplish anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. And the Holy Spirit, I think, does speak to you when the word, but a lot of people don't hear. They don't hear the speaking voice of God speaking to them. They always know it's for somebody. Boy, everybody preacher really getting on old so-and-so down there. Boy, he needed to hear that, right? And they don't look at themselves and say, well, I needed to hear that. Why? Because they're not hearing the speaking voice of God. And so man doesn't know how lost he is, but God knows how lost he is. So we know God is speaking. God speaks, like I said, there's the voice of conscience. There's even the voice of love. God speaks in the voice of love. There's reason. He speaks the voice of death. Even sometimes people, you know, you preach a funeral. You got people that otherwise would not be around any preaching, but they come to the funeral. Boy, you got a good audience right there. And I notice I preach a lot of funerals. And a lot of them people I know, I've been in whole funeral services, and I thought the whole congregation was probably lost. But they listen. They listen when they got a dead body laying there in front of them. They'll listen to you. You're putting seeds in there. There's the Holy Spirit. God speaks by the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit is the loudest and clearest voice of all the voices that God has. I know because, see, our conscience, we can sear our conscience to where it's callous. We don't hear with our conscience very well. And that'll happen to us. But boy, the Holy Spirit can still get through all that. And so the Holy Spirit makes every other voice clear that God speaks through. So I only really have 2 points because my introduction was kind of long. That's the way it came out. But the number one thing is the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. The confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And I had another little text I wanted to use. I got two places I got to go to today. In John chapter 14, 15 through 21, the Bible says, and this was the Lord speaking himself, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you. We know that to be the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And look here, I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. I will manifest myself unto him. So the Holy Spirit, we see that the Lord is talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit there. And the Holy Spirit would confirm three things when he came into the world: the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, and the person of Jesus. And like I said, the words of Jesus, just think about this. There was people that didn't believe in Jesus day. The greatest preacher ever was, the living word. I mean, God in the flesh spoke to multitudes of people. And a lot of those people just walked away from him. Matter of fact, he went one place and said in one city he didn't do very many miracles there. And he said they kind of committed to him, but it said he would not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men's hearts. He knew they were just coming out to see the miracles, and they really weren't thinking about repentance or salvation, that type of thing. But you know, when they sent the Pharisees and the chief priests, they had sent some men out to arrest Jesus at one time, and when they came back, they didn't have him, and they said, "Well, how come you didn't arrest him?" And they said, "Never a man spake like this. Never a man spake like this." Well, what was it? It was the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke, the Holy Spirit worked. Jesus said some things that they'd never heard before in their life. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, they knew what "I am" meant. Doesn't mean as much to us, but that meant he was saying he was God. He said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall down from heaven." They'd never heard anybody say that. "And I and my Father are one. I go and prepare a place for you. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Man, this is the things that Jesus was saying to him. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Man. Well, what confirms the words of Christ, or who confirms the words of Christ? It's not the theologians. These are the words of Jesus. Some theologians sit there and say, "You know, here, I'm a theologian. You know how I know they're the words of Christ? Well, it's in the red letter." That's not confirming, It's a red letter edition Bible, right? That's it. Well, you know the theologian. Well, yeah, we know Jesus said this. That's not who. All the theologians in the world can't confirm the words of Christ. Because a lost person could say, "Well, listen, I don't believe." You know, you heard all the excuses. "Oh, man wrote that down. Somebody wrote it." They wrote it down years later and just made it up. Now, how are you going to make somebody believe that? Now, we know that not to be true. We should know it. But so the theologian can't confirm the words of Christ. You can argue with a lost and unbelieving world all day about what Jesus said and get nowhere. Why? Because they don't want to believe it. Have you ever tried to get somebody to believe something they just didn't want to believe? It's not like they're open-minded. Have you ever done that? Husbands and wives, y'all can relate to this. You try to get somebody to believe something that they just don't want to believe to start with. And buddy, it's just like you're not going to get there. You know, this wall is white. And they can argue with you about that. They can argue with you about it. No, it's, you know, and it's like they don't want to do it. But when the Holy Spirit is given the power to the words. See, because, you know, you say, "Well, yeah, but that was Jesus speaking." Well, what words are we speaking? I'm speaking to you Jesus' words, right? This is God's word, the word of God, right? It's the same word. Where's Jesus living? In me, in you, if you're saved. He's dwelling in us. It's him. He's moving. He's speaking through us. He's just as alive now as he ever was, probably more alive now than he ever was, because when he walked on earth as a man, he had a body that would die. But he was resurrected again. But now, listen, it's his words, his spirit. And so the Holy Spirit gives the power and the conviction to the heart and the mind of the words of Jesus. Man, that's it, Holy Spirit. And then so he gave a witness to the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus, which were really the works of God working through him, because Jesus said, "Of my own self, I can do nothing," right? Well, how did it get done? God did it through him. Why? Because he had a surrendered life. He was surrendered to the will of the Father. He even said that. Jesus' enemies couldn't deny the works that Jesus did. They knew it was a powerful thing. It was a miraculous thing. I mean, he was raising the dead, right? Lazarus come forward. healing the lepers. Nobody could heal lepers. He healed blindness. Nobody could heal blindness in that day. It's hard to even heal blindness today, even with all the modern technology we have. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And they were there are these works were right before them. And what'd they do? Huh? The only thing they could do was they had to deny that God did it. And they told Jesus, said, oh, these are the works of the devil. You know what Jesus said to me? He was pretty smart. He said, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Satan is not going to fight against himself. Satan's not going to fight. He's even that smart. He's not going to fight it, beat itself. He said, the house divided against itself shall not stand. The words that I'm saying, they're the truth. He said, this was God's word. All they could do is claim it was the devil. But the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you what, I've talked to people, man, they arguing around in circles, and I know the Holy Spirit just wearing them out. Huh? Somebody said to me, you know, well, this is what I do with the atheist. I don't believe there's a God. I said, well, I don't believe you don't believe there's a God. Well, I don't believe, I'm telling you. I said, well, I'm telling you there is. I'm telling you there is, and you won't believe. So I'm not going to believe you that you don't think there's a God. But I'm telling you I don't believe it. I'm telling you there's a God. See, I'm arguing with them with their own deal, right? Huh? But I got the Holy Spirit on my side, and he don't. Amen. Huh? And so the whole time they got the words coming out of their mouth, I don't believe there's a God. God is, boom. Huh? I know it. Huh? And I said, oh, you're lying? Huh? You're lying? You better make sure you're bigger than he is in case you call him a liar. Huh? Huh? You're lying? You do believe there's a God. There can't be a God to deny if there's not a God. Huh? You know, and this is it. So it's God. And the Holy Spirit of God is working, man. You start talking to a lost person, you can tell you one thing. The Holy Spirit's is with you, and the Holy Spirit's working on them. Now, they can close their mind. They can sear their conscience, but there's something in there they just can't. It's like people now. There's people out here. I ain't going to get into all this right here, but it's a great illustration. I'm going to use it. But there's people out here that have other lifestyles than we do. And they are trying to convince the whole world. You know, it's not like, hey, I want to do my own thing, and, you know, I'm happy with that. No, they want you to accept it. Why? Because their conscience is killing them, because even if the whole world says it's okay, their conscience is saying, no, it's not. Because God is wearing them out about it. That's why, and it doesn't matter. We know it's pretty much accepted all over the world, and we got laws and everything protect, but they're still not happy because they can't get away from that conscience. And I tell them in love. I said, look, your conscience is telling you otherwise. Huh? But I know I'm right, right? It's right about that. So here it is. You know, the Holy Spirit confirmed the works of Jesus. The Holy Spirit confirmed the person of Jesus. Who else was like Jesus? I mean, he raised up from the dead. Huh? Power of the Holy Spirit did that. He has his witness within us. See, I don't have anything. There's nothing else that has to be told me to make me believe any more in God than I already do. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in me, giving me that witness. I'm convinced of that. You know, well, it doesn't matter. I know. See, nobody's ever going to say, well, God's not real. Well, they can say it, but I mean, I'm not going to believe it. You know, they can say it, but I'm not going to believe it. His witness is within me. And this world, what happened to this world? This man took Jesus and put him on trial. But right now the world is on trial by this man, not another person like him. The Holy Spirit witnesses to the person of Christ within our hearts. And I think he witnesses to the person of Christ, even though he witnesses to the lost that way. Jesus spoke in the ears of the people. Preachers speak, or even us as we witness to somebody, we speak in the ears of people, but the Holy Spirit penetrates the heart. Huh? And that's what's going on. And the Holy Spirit speaks in a way that even Jesus couldn't speak in his humanity on earth. I'm not being disrespectful there, but not in his humanity. He was a man. The Holy Spirit could still deal with people, and I believe he did. But the Holy Spirit's speaking in a way that's deeper than what we can do as a man. And then there's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And point number two, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Just over a couple of pages there, John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said these same things. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. See, that's why, like, I can preach what God tells me to preach. Now, some people get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me if you get convicted. The conviction comes from God. I don't do it. I can't convict you. God has to do it. It's your own conscience and God speaking to your heart and your conscience. That comes from the Holy Spirit. How can a lost man figure out that Jesus is the Son of God and figure out that he's the way and the truth and the life? How can a lost man figure that out? Well, because of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit just jumps past all the reasoning, and then you got to weigh it out and get it all theologically correct and check the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and make sure everything lines up. The Holy Spirit does this. And our faith, listen to this, this is great. Our faith doesn't depend nor rest on historical evidence, but on invisible presence. That's where our faith rests, on invisible presence. Witnessing to the inner life in our response to that voice. We have, now, the Holy Spirit can use the historical evidence, but we're not dependent on the historical evidence. Huh? I believe people got saved in over eons of time and didn't have one piece of scripture nowhere. But the Holy Spirit of God dealt with their heart. They operated with what they did know, what they could know. There's people that can't read that's gotten saved. Maybe they heard some preaching, but the Holy Spirit penetrates our hearts, our minds about three vital truths, and he mentioned it right there, sin, righteousness, and judgment. He said, of sin because they believe not on me. What really, you know what unbelief is in the hearts of people? It's proof that they're sinners, proof that they're sin, they believe. You know, it's the proof of the presence of sin. That's what it is, if unbelief. Faith is not an intellectual thing, it's a moral thing. It's a thing that deals with our conscience. It deals with that. When Jesus resurrected and the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, all the questions about whether Jesus was the Son of God were answered. That was all taken care of. Even the Jews, they asked Peter, so what shall we do? He said, repent. He said, repent. What was he dealing with? Sin? I mean, that's what they asked. He said, you know what? You're the ones. There was Jesus. He resurrected. Day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. Everybody said, man, something's going on. God did something here. And then Jesus preached a message after he whimpered away at the maid, when the maid said, you're one of them. And now he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached it on the day of Pentecost. And man, they said that they were pricked in their hearts. Who did that? Holy Spirit. All right. And what did they say? He told them, he said, y'all crucified the Lord of glory. Which he had to be crucified. But he said, you crucified the Lord of glory. They said, what shall we do? He said, repent. Huh? Repent, man. What's it dealing with? Sin. Sin. Man, this is just as you are business, man. I mean, you can come as you are, but you're not going to stay as you are. Nobody did that came in the presence of Jesus, man. You know what? Just, oh, well, I'll just trust Jesus as my Savior without a single thought of repentance. No, that's not salvation. It's never been salvation. It's a sin thing. The Holy Spirit pierces your heart with your own sin. When that happens, you'll know it. Pastor Frank was the pastor here before me. He was here when I came, and I was a member here. Pastor Frank, this one thing he said, I'll never forget it. I use it a lot, or several, you know, often. But he said, you know what? You come down here before God, you kneel down, and you might have sin in your life, and you're not sure what it is. He said, just take a guess. You'll get it right the first time, every time. Huh? The Holy Spirit tells us that, right? We know. How many of you ever had something just pop in your mind and, man. Listen, we don't get convicted because we read five books and go to a concert. We get convicted because the Holy Spirit deals in our heart, speaks to our heart. And you will believe because the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So who doesn't believe today? Why do people say, well, you know, why doesn't everybody get saved? People who don't want to believe in Jesus, they're the ones that want to hold on to their sin. I mean, they're smart enough to know. There is a certain amount of intelligence there. But there are people that realize, hey, if I trust Jesus, I'm going to have to quit sinning. Had a friend of mine told me one time, I grew up with him. He said, I ain't done sinning yet. I said, you're never going to get done sinning. Huh? You're never going to. He was trying to make a joke, but you're never going to get done sinning. But he didn't want to get saved because something in his mind told him if he got saved, he probably needs to do some repenting. Yeah, that's Bible. That's not works salvation. That's just Bible. What are we getting saved from, for Pete's sake? We're getting saved from what we are, sinners, right? That's it. So, he convicts of sin, of righteousness, and the Holy Spirit convicts of that, righteousness. Man, I think people, you ever have people get mad at you and they say, well, you know, you think you're holier now and all that. And you ain't said a word. You know, you hadn't done anything. What it is your life is different than their life. And they think we think a certain way because of that. No, I'm just an old lost sinner saved by grace, right? Saved by grace, and that's it. The Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness. And the proof of the world's moral condition is that one righteous man stood in the world and the world crucified him. Huh? That's why why do you think Christians are hated? I mean real Christians. I know there's hypocrites. I know there's people, and some of us are hypocrites sometimes. Sometimes we are. And there's people that say they're saved, they're not, and the world sees them too. But the world sees the real Christian. Man, I mean, who do you want for a neighbor? Huh? Who do you want watching your kids? Who do you, you know, I mean, but what happens is you're just living the Christ life, and the world hates it. Why? Because they hated Christ. Why did they hate Jesus? Because he showed them everything they weren't. I mean, not so much by saying, hey, look, this isn't what you are, blah, 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 and this is what I am. Just living how he lived. That's what we do. And they hate that. Why? Because they want to continue on. They want that confirmation that all sinners want confirmation from the world. That's why they go get other people to sin with them. Huh? It's hard to get off into trouble by yourself. Sometimes you want everybody else. Remember Andy Griffith? I like to use Andy Griffith episode. Remember that little boy that he wanted to throw the, Opie and his buddies wanted to go fishing. But he wanted to go out and steal some apples, and he got them doing that. And then he was out there, and they threw rocks at the street lamp. Huh? He wanted them to join in. See, there's a moral there. He wouldn't have done none of it if they wouldn't go in with him. He wanted somebody. We all sinners like a company of other sinners. And then a righteous man comes along like Jesus or a Christian. Man, they hate him, man. They hate him because he's a contrast to their life. And so the Spirit speaks today, and he's going to continue to speak until one of two things happen. A person's going to believe and surrender to the voice and cry out to be saved, or till they can no longer hear the voice of God. They won't, like Eli, they won't hear the voice of God. That's it. It's a sad day. I believe there's a day, we're in the day of grace, but I think there's people that can pass their opportunity for grace. I don't believe when I got saved, I don't know that God would have dealt with me anymore. I don't know that he wouldn't have. Just looking back on my life, I thought, man, it was that time. It was that time. And I've talked to people about the Lord, and I told them, look, right now. I said, right now, God is dealing with you. No guarantee. You know, Jesus didn't run all over the place for lost people. I was thinking about this the other day. Remember when them 10 lepers came, Jesus healed them 10 lepers, and one leper came back and thanked him, and Jesus said, hey, wasn't there 10, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, wasn't there 10 of y'all healed? Yeah. He goes, where's the other 9? But you know what? Jesus didn't go, well, I'm going to go find them. Find out why in the world they didn't come and thank me. Uh-uh. He didn't go running all over the place. When he went through Samaria, there was a woman at a well that needed to be saved, and he went and talked to her about it. But guess what? He was going to the cross. That was her day. And if she had rejected Christ that day, he was going on to the cross, she might have never got saved. She'd have never trusted the Lord. But it's that day. That's the time. And so we see that. I think we can get our conscience seared to not hear God, and then God won't speak to us. And when the heart and conscience are dead, and really a lost people, they are dead spiritually, but I think God still speaks through that. That little video I wanted to show you, if we get it next week, you'll see it. But you got some people say about things, you know, people talk about, well, you know, my conscience doesn't convict me about it. Of course it doesn't. It's dead. You know, spirits, I've heard people say that. You know, they're into some kind of sin. Well, you know, I'm not convicted about it. Well, a dead conscience can't get convicted. Very well, because you can sear it to the point. You know, of course not. And that's a bad place to get in life. You resist the Holy Spirit for so long and then deceive yourself for so long and lie to yourself for so long and lie to God. And we lie to ourselves a lot. We do. And now they can't hear. Eli, oh Eli, he had wicked sons and he didn't chasten his sons. They would have fallen in the line of being in the priesthood, but man, they were laying around with women in the door of the tabernacle, temple. They were, you know, and Eli didn't do anything about it. Now he can't see or hear. Couldn't hear God's voice. Our conscience and our hearts are deadened by disobedience, love and pleasure, lust, love of money, holding grudges, bitterness, envy, unforgiveness, gossip, lying, every other kind of sin you can throw in there on top of it. It deadens our conscience to really hear God. And then the Bible also tells us that he convicts of a judgment to come. You know, even them old devils, when Jesus put them all them legion in them swine, they said, what does thou have to do with us, Jesus, before the time? It's not time. Basically what they were saying, what are you doing here now? He said, it's not time. They knew a judgment day was coming. They knew that wasn't the day. It's for overall judgment. They knew it. But right now the lamp's still flickering. That's the good news. Huh? Still an opportunity. How do you know? Because preachers are still preaching the Word of God, and we still have the Bible, and we still have the Holy Spirit, and He's still convicting, and I know people are still getting saved. There's a flickering light, even as dark as this world is. But you know what? A small light in a dark place shines pretty bright, doesn't it? Shines pretty bright. Holy Spirit's still speaking. That's not the problem. Who can still hear Him? That's the problem. Who can still hear this Holy Spirit? I'll give you one last little story, and I'll be done. Old Harry Kidd, I shared this with you before. We had a guy in church one time, older fella. Him and his wife used to live right across the street, and we were still on the old side. We hadn't built this on. And, you know, they had come over and talked to me, and they said that they were both saved. You know, Harry's kind of quiet anyway, but said they were saved. We was on that side. Man, I preached one Sunday. I forgot what it was, but apparently Harry got really convicted about it, but he didn't come down the aisle or anything to say he was lost. And then he told me all this later on. And then the next week, he said, I preached, and he said, man, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel nothing. He said, it scared me really bad. And he said, I prayed, God, if you just speak to me one more time, speak to me. He said, I'm going to go down there and go forward and get saved. And not that he had to do it here, but you know, just the way he was thinking. He said, the next Sunday, buddy, a team of horses. We gave the invitation. I don't even know what he probably wasn't thinking about the message I preached. whatever it preached on. And I saw him coming down there, and Harry had never come to the altar in his whole time. Here he comes rolling down the aisle, you know, and I was looking, man, and he was over there, he was looking at me. He was coming around that corner, and I was looking at him, man, and I went over to the altar we had over there, and I got down there, and he said, man, I'm not saved. He said, I'm not. He asked the Lord to save him. He got saved. And then he told me later on, he goes, what happened a couple weeks before that? And he said, man, it scared me so bad when God didn't draw me, pull me to himself. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But we can sear our conscience and not hear God. So I believe God's still calling some that are lost. He's calling some who think they are saved. I think he's calling those, some people who wish they were saved. I believe he's calling those who've gotten out of fellowship with him. They're saved, but they've just gotten away from him. And conviction from God is a call. It is. The conviction of God is a call. It's a call to come to him. So we'll have our invitation when Paul comes up. And if this message spoke to your heart, you need to be saved. Maybe just get back in fellowship with God. Pray you'll do that today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for conviction, Lord. Help us. Help us not get to the point, Lord, that we can just sin without being convicted about it. sin and have no remorse, not be heartbroken about breaking your heart, Lord. Help us not get to that point. And we thank you so much for your chastening hand and even for your convicting words and our convicting spirit that give us. And so I pray today here, if there's any loss, they need to be saved. We pray for their salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I have a hymn of invitations, hymn number 97, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need